I'm going to talk just a little bit about the church building, which was something which we shared about and we talked about vision. And there was a great feeling of God being in it. And we're still very much at the stage of saying, actually, God, this is your building. We're not going to hold it too tightly. We're just going to be peaceful about it. What's the future of the church building? Some of you might be thinking, what are you talking about? You don't know anything about the chapel. It's kind of a rundown building, which we've had for donkey's years, and it needs some serious TLC or knocking down or selling or some serious work doing on it. And so it's quite a big sort of decision, but we're holding it lightly. And there are some really good words being shared about it. I just wanted to pick a couple of them out. Yeah, somebody said, if we do go ahead with the project, we do. If we don't, well, the vision of the church remains the same. It isn't a be-all and end-all. Somebody said there's a real sense of God saying, open the doors so that the people are aware of the life in the church. It feels like a kind of bit of a dingy building. You drive past it, it's just a bit ugly, and you miss all this life, which, you know, standing here, I'm looking, thinking, yeah, there's life in this place. One of my favorite ones, anyone under the age of 40 might not get this one at all, but somebody said, I've got a picture of the Ready Breck glow coming out of the chapel. For anyone that remembers the Ready Breck, that was like a porridgey thing, which sounds disgusting, but they used to advertise it as having this glow of energy around it. And somebody said, I can see that, this sort of glow around the church. And I had this is a bad connection, but there's a scripture I felt that evening, which I shared from Matthew 5 about glowing, maybe. For Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I love that for this year, maybe. I don't know if it's a big, big thing. But that thing of, we've got this light, haven't we? And it isn't a case of being proud or saying we're better than anyone else. I love that last line. So that people will glorify our Father in heaven. We've got some good news. Jesus is good news. And we want people to see that light this year. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this new year. We thank you for all the things that you love to do through the people that follow you. We thank you for the example you set when you stepped into this world and you lived and you loved people. You performed miracles. You spent time, you listened to people. You cried with people. Lord, you led, you encouraged. Lord Jesus, bring that life to your church this year. Give us confidence in you. Amen. Okay, well, I said I wanted some other feedback, so I'm going to bring this with me in case anyone... So stick your hand up. There's something else from that meeting which you thought was really cool, Sarah.
The children's work in the church energy, and that they're wanting to involve more of us in it in the way forward, because we want to see more. We want to see more work with the children. We want to see the children working in the spiritual realm and all the things that holds. And we just know that they've got so much available and there's so much to offer.
Brilliant. Well done. Anyone else? Yeah, Jill.
Rich, new deacon.
Yes, Rich. Stand up, Rich. Can you do that and press keys at the same time? Give him a clap. Brilliant. Rich joined the leadership team. Well done. Okay. Anyone else? Something else? Oh, was that it? Well done, Rachel.
Don't ask me to name them, but six new members joined us.
Six new members. Okay. Are the new members here? Please be here. Some of you, stand up. If you're welcomed into membership, stand up for us. Okay, Ward and Hattie as well. There's a few missing. Okay, good. Is that everyone? Stay standing up for a minute. I didn't say sit down. Okay, look around at these guys. I'm not going to tell you all about what it means to be a church member. Hopefully you can get some of the kind of excitement of the things God's doing. Perhaps you might want to grab one of these guys after the service. James is well up for it. And ask them, what does it mean? What does it mean to be a member of the church? Thanks, Chris. Okay, I just wondered, has anybody started a new exercise, health regime, already this year? Anybody here? Judith? come on, there's more than that. I know my family. Jerry. Okay, tomorrow. Okay, Rich, if you've got my PowerPoint there, you can put the first slide. This is great. This is sort of quality workout you could be doing for this year. Look, a Christian, this is straight from YouTube, a Christian HITS workout mix. I'm sure you've got plans for this year. There's something about exercise, that there is actually a link to this and church vision. It's coming. I was thinking how when you think about this new exercise plan that you'll have for this year, it sounds great, doesn't it? You want to be that healthy person. You want to be that person. You want to be there, don't you? But the problem is you have to do that stuff in between. Yeah, you have to actually go and do the exercise. But the thing with exercise is when you do it, I hope you all agree with this, but whenever you go and do some exercise, you nearly always feel good for it, don't you? You nearly always come back and think, oh, that was great, I should do it more often. And then you have the next day and you sort of think, oh, I haven't got mojo today, I'm not going to bother kind of thing. And I just thought it would be good maybe to do a little bit of exercise this morning together. That would be good. At this point, I should say a special welcome to guests, and there's a few faces I don't recognize. You might get used to this, or you might run a million miles away after the service, you know. But hopefully you'll feel at home and you'll have a good morning. It's really, really good to see you. Please forgive us. Okay, so Will actually got some new footballs. Is there anyone young here who can help me get these footballs out from under the stage? Yeah, okay. Who would like to come and give me a hand? Yeah, Tim, you can give me a hand, get this football out. I need a couple more. Yeah, you three can come up, actually. You can give me a hand with this. Yeah, do you want to help grab a football from under there? You just drag them out from under the stage. Pick them up for me. Okay, Gareth, you were desperate to come up, weren't you? There's one. Maybe you could give Tim. What? We were going to do headers with these. What are they? They're a bit heavy. Will, are these the medicine balls? They're the medicine. I've got the wrong ones. They're the medicine ball. That's fine. Okay, if we've got the medicine balls, we've got an expert in the church who is an expert. Scott, come up. Get us doing some exercises with the medicine balls. We've actually got some music we can use for this. And I've also got some inspirational photos to help you, maybe help you go. So what we're going to do, can you do something which you can do without the medicine ball? So you can actually, so everyone can join in. Some squats, okay. So if you're okay, if you can, if you're able to stand up, maybe you'd like to stand up. If you can't stand up, you can still do the actions a bit from where you're sitting. But I don't want excuses. You need to get up if you can. Okay, Scott, you're going to need to stand up here. So everyone can see you.
Right, so hands out in front of you.
How are you getting on there, guys?
And then we're just
going to
squat down so that our legs are at a right angle. Matt's doing it beautifully. If your legs flay out, that's bad, all right? So just try and keep your knees pointing forward. Here we go, and down, and up, and down. It's
okay,
nice to the music.
Next photo, Rich. Next photo. There we go. Come on, full Mary in the gymnast.
Squatting's a beautiful thing. Yes, just like the photo.
Come on. And the next one, Rich.
Okay.
There we are. I got Matt. I saw Matt in the gym as well. Go on.
What are we doing now?
Okay. Different exercise. I didn't know we could do two. Next one.
You know when everything goes blank.
We're going to stretch up. It's good for the back. We're going to reach down, touch your toes.
It's nice.
Oh, that's good.
If you can't touch your toes, just grab your ankles. Feel the pull in the back of the thighs. Feel the burn. Dig deeper, y'all.
Gareth,
you
put the medicine
stretch
ball
back
round.
Up.
What are you doing?
Reach to the sky and then down. Grab those ankles. That's beautiful. Apologise to the person behind
that's
you.
That's a few seconds.
Now we're just going to do some side lunges. Lean over to the side. That's it. Stretch that bit. I call that the side muscle. That's it. And the other one. That's beautiful.
Okay.
Should have been Dave, really.
Okay, well, you can take your seats. Well done, guys. Thank you for helping with the medicine balls. You can go and... Yeah, if you can stick them under there, that'd be good. I like if Scott gets a clap for that. Good. Now, you're all thinking, yeah, I feel better for that, aren't you? Yeah, no. No, not many. Okay, let's... could we have the next slide up, Rich, please? It's the... You may be familiar with this, you may not be, but this is a church vision which Matt's going to be focusing on in his talk in a little bit. And I was looking at this and I was thinking very much, how it could sound a bit grandiose. It could sound a little bit like something, oh, we can't achieve that. How are we ever going to do disciple making? How are we ever going to do church planting? How are we ever going to be world reaching? How do these things happen? And there's just a kind of risk for me when you see something like that. You can just think it's something over there for someone else. But I reckon that over the last year, I've been really kind of encouraged by the way as a church, we really think this is God's vision for the church. This isn't something we've come up with to look smart or anything like that. We think this is what God wants to be doing with us. And there's loads of things. I've kind of come up with a few things in each area which I was thinking, yeah, God has been doing this in 2018. So disciple making. We've got some new groups started, new house groups started, and we've started working with teams, which actually encourages new people to get involved in house groups. New people thinking, oh yeah, I could lead a house group, whereas before they might have thought, oh no, I'm not sure if I can. We're growing in confidence to wait on God and to pray, to receive prayer as well. It might sound deadly obvious, we're a church, aren't we? But we're getting better at it, I think. We're getting this expectation of something from God. We have a worship night tonight down at the chapel, an opportunity to spend time waiting, worshipping, listening to God. We've had baptism services. We've seen people sharing testimonies from the front. We've heard what God's been doing in people's lives. Even this morning in our prayer meeting before church, which everyone's welcome to, by the way. I'd hate anyone to think that's a private prayer thing. 10 o'clock, we get down a bit early and pray. And that's part of it, isn't it? That's part of being disciples of Jesus. And we had testimony in that time. I love the Over to You events we've done. So that might sound weird, but we've done a thing where we've said, actually, we're not going to run an event as a church. We're going to ask everyone just to spend some time, invite your friends, neighbours around, get to know them, so that we're not just this sort of inward-looking bunch of people. We're disciple-making. We're wanting to share Jesus with other people. Then there's EnFest, which is an obvious one, maybe. EnFest is our summer event where we kind of have 200 children along each morning for a holiday club, and we do lots of other things in the evenings for the community. So you get the gist. I'm seeing God doing lots of things within this vision. It isn't a kind of unreachable thing. God is working at it. Church planting. I know Matt's going to say a bit, so I won't say too much, but we've grown in this really good friendship with Portland Baptist Church, and it's really, I love it. It's not this kind of, you could think church planting, okay, we're going to go and start a church there and it's going to be big and grand or whatever, but actually it's exactly how I was hoping, or I love God the way he works. It's just friendship. How can we support? It's where is God leading? And we're going to see more of that, I think, more of these opportunities where it's not about Welton Baptist Church at all. It's just about feeling, sort of seeing this vision for God. World reaching. I love it that it's this natural thing again. We're becoming closer friends with the people we support around the world. Again, Matt will say a bit more. But I love it. And we've had lots of videos, haven't we? We've had James and Sandra come and visit. I went to Egypt. People have been doing different things. Just building it so there isn't this is our kind of mission bit. But this is friendship. This is support. I was chatting to Hattie about it the other day. How does all this stuff work? It's about relationship, isn't it? It's about having a real relationship with people where we love and support, and they support us as well. It's two-way. So that's just a few thoughts from 2018 from me. But I'm going to give you 1 minute to think. 2019, what might God want you to be doing? Is there something, when you look at that, disciple-making, church planting, world-reaching, so one thing which, as I've been talking about last year, you thought, oh, I could do that. I'd like to do a bit more of that. And it ties in with this letting your light shine verse, which I read earlier on, I think, that God actually really wants to do these things in us. When you get that little, oh, that I could do that, I think God wants it to be more than just I could do it. I think he wants it to change into you're going to do it. And so I'm going to give you 1 minute. Just have a think. What might God be wanting to do this year through you? And in that time, I'm going to give you another thought. You're allowed to look around the room, and is there something which you think God's saying to someone else? Now, that's kind of the chicken option, isn't it? Because it's easy to think of something for someone else. But if there is, go and encourage that person. You've got kind of, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, 1 minute to think about it, 1 minute to go and share. If you're a visitor and you're thinking, oh, I'm not sure I can do that, I'd encourage you, you know, these things really are for everyone. It isn't this is for us at Welton. But God wants you to be a disciple maker. God wants you to be thinking about the world. God wants you to think about new churches. So do have a little think about that. 2 minutes. It's just going to be quiet for a minute. And maybe children, young people, you could be thinking about this too. Okay, what could God be doing in you? How does he want you to do these things this year? Okay, 1 minute of quiet.
As we were worshipping, I just felt the Lord kind of give me a word, and I wasn't sure who it was from, something I think from the heart of God for maybe one person here this morning. And I felt that there's somebody here this morning who you've been told you will never be loved again. And I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if that's you. But somebody who you've been told in your life you will never be loved again. And part of you has believed it. And I sensed God was saying, it's not true. It's just not true. And as I was praying about it, I almost saw God saying, I saw kind of God stood at the front of the line to say, I love you and I will never change my mind. I absolutely love you and I will never change my mind. And he was ahead of everybody else. And I would love to pray for you. If you're here this morning and in your life, somebody at some point has said to you, you will never be loved again, or words to that effect. I really think God, in his goodness, in his kindness, in his love, I think he wants to say to you, that's not true. And I'm at the front of the line of people that want to say, I love you. So if you're up for it, go and grab a cup of coffee later on. Come and find me. I would love just to pray for you about that. I don't know about you, I'm actually really looking forward to 2019, to the year ahead. I want to give you, we're going to try and get a PowerPoint up and running. There we go. Fantastic. Thanks, Rich. Oh, and I've got a clicker somewhere. I'm so rubbish at remembering all of these things. Let's see if this works. Yes, brilliant. All right, what two words come to mind when you think about what you'd love to see grow in our church in the year ahead? And thinking particularly maybe about yourself, but it could be the wider church. But for you personally, what two words? Just give that a little bit of thought. If you're a guest here this morning, that's completely fine. You can think too generically, what would it look like for a church to really be good at communicating the love of God to those around them, okay? So I want you to think about it, and I want you just to discuss it with your neighbor. Don't make it really, really embarrassing, okay? If you don't want to talk about it, that's completely fine. But just turn to somebody next to you and say, have you got two words that would sum up your hopes for our church in 2019? Go for it. See if you've got two words. And then I'm going to come around. Matt and I are going to come around with microphones and just get hold of some of your two words. Okay, this is where you need to not be too shy, okay? We're going to do this really, really fast. And we're not looking for mini sermons or like 25-minute testimonies. Two words, right, Matt? So you've got to be really strict. Anybody that's up for it, just give us your two words that would describe what you'd love to see in Welton Baptist Church in the coming year. Go for it. Put your hand up, and I'm going to come to you with a microphone on this side. Matt, I'll come over this side. Two words. You've got two words? James?
Redemption and community.
Redemption and community. I'm not going to comment on these, even if I love them and they sound brilliant. Yeah, Paul.
Can I have the same word twice? I've got more of God, more from God.
That's more than two words, wasn't it? But it was good. We'll let you have it. Elaine?
Grow in grace. That's three.
What are you lot like? I said, Matt, see if they're any better on that side of the room.
Apparently I've got two good words coming here, so let's see if they're good. Ready?
I got all-inclusive and embracing.
Yeah, they still failed, didn't they? But brilliant. All-inclusive.
You can get that.
Okay. That's true. You could put little lines in between all these.
Rachel?
Brave and true.
Brave. Yeah, and nice. True. Anybody from this block? Two words. Yeah.
Just accessible and generous.
Accessible and generous. Yeah, cool. Good words.
Inclusive and authentic.
Okay, we're getting better. This block, you guys got it. Guys on the sides, they're rubbish, yeah.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, okay, very good. All right, any others? Shout it out. Extra enthusiasm. That sounds good.
One of the words I said was baptism, because I think it's been really good this year, and it'd be nice to see more of it.
Yeah, that was loads of words, but you're completely right. Totally right, brilliant. Will somebody else have their hand up on this side? Yeah, Jill.
Grounding and growing.
Grounding and growing. Bit of alliteration there as well. Very nice. Okay, brilliant. Thanks, Matt. Thank you. My two words would be, I think probably quite similar to some of yours, but would be confidence and love. And they're connected. And my sense for many of us, going into this year is whether we've been a Christian for many years, just a few months, and as a bunch of us that are still searching, what does it mean to get to know this God? But my sense is that God wants to so overwhelm us with his love that the knock-on effect is that we are just like, we become naturally more confident in every other part of our life, where we get to that point where we care way less what others think about us because we're so confident that we're loved by God. And so those would be my two words. I was reading this week, I like this picture. I was reading this week a good quote, and it said, God's love is like standing on the edge of the ocean. You can see its beginning, but not its end. And I had this really, really strong sense this last couple of weeks. God is going to overwhelm a whole bunch of us, or all of us, with his love. And that will lead to this kind of growing confidence as people in every area of our lives. Hebrews 4:16 sums it up. This is a great verse that says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. This throne of grace, grace, the outworking of God's love in our lives, to know there's nothing more we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make him love us less. He just loves us. He loves us. He loves us. You might be thinking, hold on, that's probably true for the person sat next to me. It's completely true for you. I believe God wants to overwhelm you with his love this year. I think he wants to do it with our young people. He wants to do it with our kids, but I think he wants to do it with all of us. And I know in my own life, I need to be growing in my understanding of the love of God, not doing stuff on autopilot. I know that the best version of me is when I've encountered love. And then the next, who I am next, is the right type of confidence, not the wrong type of confidence. Okay, but there's also this part that God wants to do with all of us, isn't there, where these things come together. My two words, a little bit different from your two words. But when we fit them all together, I think something really exciting starts to happen, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning. Hence your jigsaw puzzle piece on the front of your page, and you can grab that. Don't take it off yet unless you've already taken it off. I'd have taken it off by now. That's fine. And we're going to come back to that. But I want us to see how all of these words that we've said and things that we've got, the hopes that we've got from God, actually, there's something about who God is that fits them all together. And that's the focus of today. Each piece is one color. So if you look at your bit of jigsaw puzzle, it looks like it's one color. Actually, this is the jigsaw puzzle that it's come from. And all of these pieces of jigsaw, there's a gradient. So if you look really closely, it's a different color from one edge of the piece of jigsaw to the other edge of the piece of jigsaw. And it connects, and you get, this is the jigsaw puzzle. That's the kind of, that's what it's taken from, the photo, and that's the jigsaw, which obviously I can't make anymore because a lot of you have got some of the pieces. But I love this jigsaw, and I love how it kind of says in another way what you read in 1 Peter 2 that says, we are like living stones, the church, being built together into a spiritual house, a royal priesthood. Paul was reminding Peter then, and he's reminding us today, that in this individualistic world that is full of uncertainties, loneliness, fears, full-on pressures, hold on a second, I connect you together with people that are actually quite different from you, starting in different places, different life experiences. I connect you together, and it's a beautiful thing. It's an incredible thing that I do with purpose. And so when we're together, there's something about who we are that is bigger than we are on our own. We'll come back to that bit of jigsaw puzzle at the end. All right, those are my two words. Matt's already helped us think a little bit about some of our values as a church, which are summed up in these three phrases, to be disciple-making, church-planting, and world-reaching. And these are values that are rooted in Scripture, in the Bible, and the vision that comes out of them is fed by Scripture and the Bible. And so the values, they remain solid. They're kind of our solid ground, as it were, rooted in Scripture. But the vision, it changes year by year as God adds to us, grows us, speaks to us, helps us when we fall over and get back up again, that kind of thing. Today, I want to look at these in reverse order. Okay, so I want us to think a little bit about what does it actually mean for you and I to be a world-reaching church, a church-planting church, and a disciple-making church. And I'm going to ask you to have a little bit of grace with me as well. Two reasons. One is, this is a really hard talk to do, because you're trying to get all of these things that you're really excited about into kind of 25 minutes. And it's just impossible. I decided on Thursday afternoon, it's just not possible, God. And so I kind of gave up and sulked for an hour and came back to it on Friday morning. So have a little bit of grace with me. And also, my wife will tell you, I woke up with man flu this morning, which can be very serious for the wives of those with man flu. But yeah, a Lemsip and a half later, I'm doing all right. So we'll see how we get on. Let's make a start then. So world reaching. What does it mean for us to be world reaching? We live in a world where there's 16,500 people groups on our planet. 7,000 of those 16,500 don't have a church community like ours, or any kind of church community. 3,000 of those 16,500 have nobody trying to share the love of God with them, and just be real about the love of God with those people. And we really believe that we can be a part of the solution to that situation. And we're humbly saying, God, would you make us, would you show us where our part is in doing that? I've said this to you before, and but I don't apologize for saying it again. Something I've seen year after year around the UK and other parts of the world is that when your worldview gets bigger, actually you become bigger. And it's a little bit like, you can take it from the smallest analogy. You can say, actually, if you start loving and caring for your neighbor that's two doors down from your house, when you come home, you will be a bigger, better person in your home than you were before you went. Does that make sense? Exactly the same is true when you go to another culture, another part of the world, and you share the love of God, whether it's in practical ways, in friendship, in praying for somebody, whatever it is. When our worldview gets bigger, we become bigger. And I think the same is true with us as a church. The more that we reach out to other parts of the world, I think actually the bigger we become here with one another. Acts 1:8, I love this verse, and we've looked at this before as well, says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You'll talk about me. You'll be real about me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I want you to notice what it doesn't say. Okay, this is really important when we think about being a world-reaching church. Okay, it doesn't say Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or to the ends of the earth. Notice as well what it doesn't say. It doesn't say you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then once you've done that in Judea, and then into Samaria, and then into the ends of earth. It says and. And there's a sense in which God is saying, hold on a second, this is my calling. It's a global calling that I have on my people. We've said that in the next 10 years, we would love to see at least half of our church doing their faith in another culture. And that could be on a short-term trip, a week in the Middle East or in Spain or somewhere else. And it could be that some of us say, you know what, we're going to do this for life. We're going to do 3-4 years and see how it goes. We're going to be who God's called us to be, but we're going to do it somewhere else. And I believe as we do that, we become bigger in terms of who we are. What it's meant in the last year, and it's going to mean a little bit more of into 2019, is us reducing the number of partners that we have as a church, which sounds a little bit counterintuitive, but there's a reason for that. It's saying, actually, we want to build strong and deep relationships so that actually what happens over there, it affects us here. When there's joy there, we love it. There's joy here. When they're struggling there, we feel something of that struggle too. And it's not saying, okay, these are good and these are bad. Actually, we've been trying, we're going to keep on trying as a church to say, Holy Spirit, would you lead us to where these kind of relationships have got real life and they're going to go deep. And actually, who we are affects them and who they are affects us. We've been doing that this year. And if you want to know a little bit more about that, that's going to kind of unfold as the year goes on. I've got a few one-minute videos, 4 one-minute videos. They really are 1 minute. I had to edit a couple of them down because asking anybody to do a one-minute video is a challenge. But 4 one-minute videos. What I'd love you to do is just to watch these, and on the back of your sheet that I've given you, there's a post-it note. And what I'd love you to do is, as you watch these videos, just to think about writing a message, a prayer, a Bible verse, not all of those things, maybe one of those things, maybe something that grabs you, maybe a word from God or just a sense of real encouragement about one of these people that you're watching. And then over coffee a bit later on, there's a huge world map in the coffee area. And I'm going to ask you just to stick it up on that world map. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to send these to these people in the different parts of the world. So we're going to be looking at friends that we are growing deeper relationship with in these videos, with Chris and Liz from Spain, Dan from Uganda, John from Egypt, and James and Sandra in Nepal, four different parts of the world. Are you ready for this? Sit back, watch, be thinking, listening. Is there an encouragement, Bible verse, a prayer that you want to pray for one of these guys? Chris and Liz in Spain.
Happy New Year, Wellington. Here we are back in Spain. It was great to be with you over Christmas. We really enjoyed being at the Chris Dingle and at the Christmas party. It was really lots of fun.
We're really excited about this year. Some of you might have heard that we had 45 for our Christmas celebration. And finally, after looking for a long time, we found somewhere in our town where we can meet. And from next week, we're going to be meeting every other week, indefinitely, in a bar in the town. It's an amazing location. It's a public space. And we're really hoping to get regular numbers and people inviting their friends along. We're also excited about the relationship with Wellington, how things are developing. We love having Matt out. We love getting to know so many of you. We're looking for that to be more a two-way thing over the coming year. We're hoping to pop back every now and then. But equally, we want to see some of you out here. We're looking for small teams to come, maybe a group of guys, a group of girls. But also individuals. Part of our vision here is to have a place where you can come and meet and connect with God. So we hope to see more of you this year. Happy New Year.
Bye. Bye. Happy New Year.
Okay, so that's Chris and Liz in Spain. Next is Dan from Uganda.
My name is Dan Mwambuzi. And I'm among the Ugandans who have worked with Pastor Mike Hall for over these last 22 years now. There are so many things that have happened during these years. It's the leaders' annual conferences that are being held once every year. These conferences are currently attracting many leaders from, church leaders from different regions of Uganda and beyond. The conferences are such a big blessing to this nation and to the church in Uganda because they address the crucial need of discipleship training within the church in Uganda. One way to describe the state of the church in Uganda is that the church is widely spread but shallow. The Ugandan people are so desperate for God and for teaching. The annual leaders' conferences have and are addressing this crucial need and already are witnessing positive changes among the leaders that have been attending these conferences. And we are so grateful to God for that. And on behalf of all the Ugandans, I would love to thank all the friends in the UK who are part of this. Thank you so much, and may God bless you.
Okay, this is John from Egypt.
John, just tell us what else. Well, first, we thank you so much for your standing with us, for your help and by Matt's help. We did a lot of good things in Egypt. It's started 19 teams this year, and we shared the gospel with more than 23,000 with our majority. Many will come to the Lord. We have more, many house churches or many small groups. We share the gospel with many people. We have a lot of testimony to share. So we are really very thankful for you, for Pastor Matt, for your standing with us. We really appreciate you so much. Bless you.
And lastly, James and Sandra in Nepal.
Just entering a new year, 2019. Thank you that our relationship is far more than just being good friends. Thank you that you hold us accountable. You're there for us. You've got our back. You support us in all sorts of different ways. We really do appreciate that. And I'm pleased that we can also be part of your vision of being hands and feet out there in the world. We can open your eyes to see what goes on in other countries, including massive mountains like this. So thank you for being there for us. We really do appreciate the journey, and that 2019 is going to be a great year.
And thank you especially for your prayer, also for our close family who are quite sick at the moment. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
So an amazing group of people. I'm going to give you just 1 minute. I know it's not long, just 1 minute. And I want to just do two things. First of all, just pause a second and say, Lord, where do you want me to connect this year? And it may be you don't know yet, but maybe the Lord is just speaking to you about one of these nations. Maybe you've written down something already, but I'm going to give you just another bit of time if you want to write something down for one of these guys, a message, a Bible verse, an encouragement, something like that. That would be great. Okay, good. Lord, would you make us a world-reaching church? Amen? All right, what about church planting? This part of our vision will most likely, year on year, be the most challenging, because it is in the Western world, certainly in the UK. But I'm really grateful to God that we've started making some steps in this during this last year. One of the challenges that we face as a church, or certainly as Christians in the UK, is this. And I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but it is true. There's a whole bunch of people in our nation that think Jesus is all right and think the church is rubbish. You know that, right? There's a bit of research that was done in Australia 5 years ago. And it's a good bit of research, quite a wide bit of research, but they kept it very simple in the answers. They asked people thumbs up, or kind of thumbs medium, or thumbs down for these four words: God, Jesus, spirituality, and church. We're going to do a quick thing now. What do you reckon people said of these thousands of people in Australia, similar nation to ours culturally? You might argue that, but certainly Western world. And what do you think people said? So thumbs up, thumbs medium, or thumbs down? First of all, on God. Give us a thumbs up. Come on, you can do this. Thumbs up, thumbs medium, thumbs down. Okay. All right. What about Jesus? Thumbs up, thumbs medium, thumbs down. What do you reckon people said? Okay. Paul Williams looked like he had some nervous thing going on. It's good. It's the night before, isn't it? what about spirituality? Thumbs up, thumbs medium, thumbs down. Yeah. What about church? Yeah, okay. Let me give you, this is the actual outcome, and they're pretty conclusive. I won't bother giving you the percentages and give them to you later if you're interested. But people pretty conclusively said God, thumbs up, which is interesting. Jesus, a really clear thumbs up. Spirituality, a clear thumbs up. Church, pretty uniform, a thumbs down. If we sit here thinking that all we got to do every week is come along to church on a Sunday and hopefully people will join us, we're just wrong. Okay? You know that, don't you? We're just wrong. Some people might, and I've said it to you before, I believe if there is a devil, and I believe there is, I think there's enough evil in the world to justify believing that there is. If there's a devil, I think his best strategy would to have a couple of people walk into our church every year, and we say, there you go. That's all you need to do is rock up for an hour and a half on a Sunday, and people will come. They won't. Most people won't. Most people want to see a living, authentic faith in their workplace, in their running club, in their pub, wherever it may be. And I think the challenge is to be the church where people are, especially with those that don't want to do this yet. And they may have some really valid reasons why they don't want to do this yet, gather in this way. So a couple of things that we're looking at as a church. You may think, what has this got to do with church planting? This is the Welton Runners T-shirt. It's actually one of three designs that people who have been out for a run have earned themselves a right to vote which particular colour T-shirt they're going to choose. Welton Runners, one idea. What would it look like if we started a running club, which we're going to do? It's kind of semi-started. Ojan and Sally are going to say a little bit more about it next week. We're a bunch of believers from a local church. They love running, they love health, and they invite their friends not to Bible bash or to try and proselytize or do those ugly things, but to be real and authentic about their faith in something that they love doing. We're praying and we're asking God the question, could this then lead to that group becoming a community of believers, a community of faith, where maybe on a Sunday morning once a month, a bunch of us, we're not here. And why are we not here? Because we're out running with a group of mates and then going back to a pub afterwards and sitting around a table and talking about our faith and maybe somebody sharing a story and somebody talking about a big question of life. Why does bad stuff happen in the world, whatever it may be? Could God do that? I really believe he could. And we've got a bunch of people in our church who are starting to get excited about getting healthier, enjoying that friendship. But then the people on the edges of their lives saying, come running with us, do some life with us. Then seeing where it goes. We don't know exactly where it goes. But could it be that by the end of 2019, a bunch of us are not in this room once a month because we're just doing life. We're doing real missional community. We're doing what church is supposed to be, where people are. Might be a bit of a challenge. I think it would be fantastic. What about this? Poulton Baptist Church. It's already been mentioned. I've noticed Meg over there. And yeah, lovely. And Ronnie, and maybe one or two others. Really lovely to see you. We love this church down the road. And this is kind of secondary. This is not church planting. We need to be clear about that. But it is a church that is saying we need some new life, some new vision, some new energy, some new leadership. And the reality is, they know this, and ask them, they'll tell you, that unless something fresh happens, unless there's a fresh kind of birthing by God, they won't be there in 20 years' time. And they're saying, hold on a second, we believe God wants a new chapter for this church. Picture that I had, which I shared with the team at Poulton, a group of leaders that we love and respect enormously, was of two trees. It's this picture here on the right-hand side, just growing up. And you can see that their branches are overlapping. And that's begun to happen this year, where we're just crossing paths and we're saying, actually, how can we as Welton, as a church, be part of their story? Not in any way to say, let's go down the road and make Poulton Baptist Church look just like Welton Baptist Church. Absolutely not. But for a bunch of us to say, you know what? Part of God's calling on our church is to go down the road and help them, stand with them as they discover the next chapter that God has called them to as a church. And that's beginning to happen. We're excited about it. Going to read you just a quick letter from Barb. She's one of the deacons. Meg is another one of the deacons. I could have got you to read this, Meg, but no, she's shaking her head. That's fair enough. All right, I'll read it. This is from Barb, who works with Meg at Poulton. New Year greetings. The leadership team here, working with the team leaders at Welton, have prayerfully endeavoured to steer our church into the next chapter. The two Matts have regularly joined the deacons and church meetings, not only to support us in prayer, but to lead us into thinking outside the box. They have trained us in how to develop future young leaders and to look at our strengths and weaknesses and how we can address these. We've built up regular attendees at our men's breakfast, ladies' lunch, and knit and natter. Our task now lies in bringing them to faith. This means getting alongside them and showing them God's love through our conversations. We hope to do the same at our messy church, as we have many regular families now. We need the prayers and guidance from our friends at Welton, particularly for these things. We now also enjoy worshipping with you on Sunday evenings as a source of spiritual nourishment, as well as joining the ladies for Arise meetings. We are most grateful for the prayer and support from our friends at Welton. Barbara. So, question. Could God be calling some of us to be missionaries at Poulton? Maybe for 1 or 2 years to say, we will make that our church family. Maybe they wouldn't want you. I'm joking. I'm sure they would. Could it be? Could it be that maybe you do house group here and messy church there or something like that? Give you just one snippet. I think God wants us to be generous and giving and believing for other churches. Matt and I, 18 months ago, said, hey, let's start a messy church at Welton. Do you know what we're saying now? And we said it in the pub the other day. We were chatting about this. Let's not start a messy church just now. Let's see God really, really bless Poulton's messy church. Let's see this next chapter at Poulton. And so a bit of a challenge for you. Does God want you to be a missionary to Poulton Baptist Church? All right, that's not going to be for all of us. But do you know what I think is for all of us as a church, if we're really getting behind the vision, is to say, God, I'll do anything you ask me to do. I know you love me. I'm growing my confidence in you. I trust you. And so even just to ask the question, you might know the answer already, but just to ask the question, God, would you like me to be involved with Poulton Baptist Church? What harm could it do? So two things. There may be some other things that happen this year along these lines of church planting or seeing other churches come to life. We want to be open to God and his Holy Spirit leading us in those things. And so I hope you would join me in praying, just saying, Lord, make us a church planting church in 2019. Last one. Oh, that was Barb, by the way. I should have had her picture up as I read her letter. There she is. Disciple making. There's so much that we could look at. And Matt's mentioned some of these things. House groups that are growing, planting out. EnFest throughout the year, not just in the summer. The chapel project. Our young people, our children's work. Some really exciting things that are being looked at there that are already happening. Mercy UK, who run the Keys to Freedom course, coming down the end of this month, doing some training with a bunch of us. Our teaching series on Sunday mornings. I'm really excited about this year ahead. I'm with Dave Kay at the helm, kind of helping pull all of that together. Looking at things like different books of the Bible, some key themes. Sabbath, what does it mean to really rest? Sabbath rest. Why do we take communion? What's that all about? Spiritual gifts, are they real? Can you really hear God's voice? Does God still do miracles today? Lots of other stuff that we're going to be doing during 2019. The Invest year of training. Are our Invest ladies all here? Is Teresa, Claire, and Joe, are those three here? Or some of them? Claire is definitely here. Joe's in Dynamo, so she is here. And Teresa, I'm guessing Teresa's on holiday. Teresa's always on holiday, isn't she? Tell her I said that when you see her. All right, we're going to be running an Invest year that, again, Dave is kind of heading up. A really exciting year of on-the-ground training. None of those are what I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to end with this, all right, on disciple-making. One of the things that I believe God wants to do in our church is to grow a testimony culture. What do I mean by that? But a culture where we are not embarrassed or ashamed about saying, this is what my God's like, and this is what he's doing in my life. And even when it's not happened yet. You know, sometimes I think as a church, you think, oh, to give a testimony, to stand up in here or at a house group or with your mates at a pub and to say, look at what God's doing, you have to have gotten to the end of the story. Do you sometimes feel that? You have to have reached the point where here's the happy ending. Actually, you don't see that at all in the Bible. Actually, I love the idea of us becoming a church where we say, I'm in the middle of a real struggle, but my God is with me. And then, of course, we want the stories as well of, I've been through a struggle and God has been faithful. This is what God has done. I believe he wants us to grow a culture more and more this year where we are not ashamed of our God. And we talk about him a little bit more. So with that in mind, the last thing that we're going to do this morning, I've asked four people if they would be really brave and kick us off, just a little bit of a kickstart in 2019, to give a 1 minute, I'm going to echo that, you guys, just before you come up, a 1 minute highlight, something, just telling a little bit of the story of what God has done in their lives in these last few months. So we're going to start with Ali.
I did contemplate singing it because I find that easier than speaking, but... So I'm really nervous. So anyway, so I'm going to read it because, and I have props. So Matt asked me to give a short testimony and a condensed headline of what God has been doing in my life over the past few months. So this is my testimony bit, and the headline comes later. So he's really shown me, or God has really shown me, that there's blessing in challenge or doing something that I never thought I'd do. And God has really put a passion and a fire in my heart for our young people, all four young people, even those that aren't in our church, particularly Voltage. And I have this burning desire that I can't describe to see them grow in relationship with God, going deeper, experiencing spiritual gifts and building strong relationships with each other. So I feel so strongly that to have good Christian relationships will really help them, ground them in their faith and hold on to their faith. I thought I fell into being a Voltage leader by accident. I volunteered to drive some children to a night hike, and now I am... got quite a major role in the group. I lead most Wednesday nights. I lead a bit of Sunday mornings. And I really, really love it. I really love it. And God always inspires me, I think, with the things that I do with them. And at our planning meeting last week, Dave Mager said to me, I think you've found your niche, haven't you, Ali? And I thought, yeah, I think I really have. I think I've really found it. And so this is my headline, which is an acrostic of niche. So I'm just going to, like, open it up. So, do you mind holding it up?
Yeah.
So, there's never a dull... So this is my headline for sort of what God's doing with me in Voltage, I think. What I've gone over a minute, I'm really sorry. And also vision for the year, this coming year. So never a dull moment, inspiring and challenging for the soul, Holy Spirit empowered and expectant. Brilliant. That's my headline. And because you had that picture of me running, and I've been sort of thinking a lot about that, but I was just thinking that I think I've found this gift and I'm running with it. So thank you.
It's good to hear, isn't it? Yeah, amen. Thanks, mate. Oh, she crashed out at the ending. It's good. And her husband, is he here? Is Gary here? Oh, no, he said, her husband, God is doing stuff in Gary as well. Watch this space. I've said to him, Gary, we want to hear a little bit about this soon. All right, fantastic. Would you rather have heard Ali's testimony or not heard it? Heard it. The same is true with what God's doing in your life. Okay, Keith Dawson, run up here. I know Keith is going to be 1 minute or less.
Over Christmas, I was on the internet, as you are, and I was looking up my professional wrestling name. And if you put your name in, it tells you what it is. And that comes out for me as either Randy Swagger or Bad News Arsonist. I've decided to put them together and call myself Randy Arsonist. But you might be thinking, you know, what on earth has that got to do with testimony about what God's doing in my life? If I can take you to Genesis and to the part where Jacob is wrestling with God. And, you know, that's something I think I've been doing over the last 6 months, probably, if I was honest, over the last couple of years. And I've been sort of wrestling with an issue, which I think probably many of us do, which is trusting God with money and, you know, very much linked to that with my job. And, you know, I've been sort of, I would say, happy to sort of say to God, yeah, you can have this amount, but I'm going to keep control of the rest. And I think that's been the battle which I've been going through. But if you look at that story of Jacob, you know, before he had to wrestle with God, he'd sent everything away. He'd got rid of everything, and he was just there with God on his own. Now, he didn't have his sheep, goats, all his wealth, and so on. Now, you know, I might be a bit light on sheep and goats. I'm very glad of that. But after, so I would say, a couple of years of battling, what I've done this year, over the last few months, is I've sort of given over to God my wealth generator, which is my job, and said to God, you know, I find this really difficult, but, you know, you can have this. You know, I've known for a couple of years I should have been doing something else, and this year it's been very clear from my health that I should be doing something else. And finally sort of said to God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but, you know, I need to change job, because it's quite complicated in the way in which I work. And having come to a point where I've said to God, I need help, because I can't see how it's going to happen, within a week of me sort of making that statement to God, my sort of work-life job changed remarkably. Basically, without me asking, the school which I work for sort of said, how would you like to do this? And they've offered me a phased exit from my job. They've enabled me to take away all my teaching, so all the hard work is gone. I still get to be a manager to tell people what to do without actually having to do any of the work myself. Perfect management. And it gives me time to explore other careers. I've got 2.5 days a week to go and do something else. And I have to say, I could not see that coming. I couldn't even thought of that myself. And that came almost straight from just me saying, God, I can't do this on my own. So coming on to this year, you know, I don't know what this year is going to hold. You know, I'm hoping for the happy ending that Matt has been talking about, but I really don't know. But what I am excited about is I can really sense that God is in my life. And the challenge for me is not to try and take back control, but to allow God to do his thing, as it were. And just to finish with a reference, going back to wrestling, you know, at the end of that encounter with Jacob and God, he gave him a new name, Isaac. So perhaps my discovery of Randy, whatever it was, Randy Arsonist, is prophetic. That could be my new career.
Watch this space. There you go. I'm loving that everybody's fallen off the stage. It's great. Sue Kirby, rush up here. That'd be great.
I'm not sure it's always good to follow Keith Dawson. At a members' meeting early last year, now, there was a sharing by the leadership of how Welton might go forward on the building, Welton Church. Having listened, a fire had been erupting inside of here. You know, like many of you, how you know God is... Okay, God is talking to you. And there was a really, really strong fire that I felt I had to say and say what God was saying. In the 24 years I have been a member, we've had 3 or 4 different presentations and ideas for the chapel, but I'd never been touched by any of them, whereas this time there was just such a real fire here. For a couple of years, over this last couple of years, I've been on the sidelines quite a bit and away travelling, and in that time Welton was really growing with such a vision. I suddenly felt a great desire to be back as a bigger part of Welton Church, with God, with a purpose, and part of the vision. More of a practical person, I didn't know how, with age and energy not on my side. But when the subject of becoming a deacon came up at New Wine, I was very shocked and surprised. I felt I was well past doing that. I had been a deacon for 9 years in the 2000s, and I just loved serving God in this team then. And now there is such a brilliant team of deacons. God has given me a refreshed, renewed renewal of himself, where I can grow and serve him and his church. I've obviously decided you're never too old, and I'm sure there are many people in my age group and older here, that there are so many things to be done in this church and places to be, that there are things for many of us who may feel perhaps we're now in retirement, but I feel as though I've come out of a retirement and just love it, doing what I am doing. Psalm 84:10 says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. A favourite verse I have always just loved. And might I say, there's room for many things to be done in this church, and especially deacons. So if anybody feels that that might be for them, please talk to Keith Dawson, who could enlighten you. But with young families, you know, us older ones, there's so many things we can be doing to supporting and helping them. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Thank you so much, Sue. That's great. Okay, Solveiga. Last but not least, Solveiga, who's been around maybe a year or 18 months. I had no idea what these guys were going to say, just as a by the way. But,
It feels like I've been part of this church family for years. I have so much love for you all. But to be more accurate, it was May of 2018, just last year, when I got taken in by surprise and bribed with cakes by both Matt and Jonathan. So, no, that's a joke. If you would see in my heart a year ago, it was a miserable sight. Tired of living, confused, scared, lost, lonely, sad little soul. Walking through what felt like the thickest fog and almost giving up. And then I decided to pray. And really gently, really graciously, God started to change my heart. Quietly, he called my name in the darkest of hours, encouraging to take one more step, live through one more day. He paved the road to Welton Church. And there you all were. Calling me brave and wise and strong and willing to talk to me and to get to know me and to really listen. There was something supernatural about this place. There was God in every person's eyes that I got to connect with. And you took me along to your church weekend away, this huge family gathering, and made me feel like home. Even more, we all had to put together a puzzle. Each person had its little special piece of an anatomical body picture to symbolize how we all fit and work together. And you gave me a piece of a heart. To me, a stranger that you just met. Like today, I'm standing here at the beginning of 2019, in awe of his wonders, and ever so grateful for this journey. During this past year, I finally came to renting a cozy little flat on my own, got a new job that I absolutely love. I got 3 pay raises and a promotion in less than 6 months. Funny, but even got almost everything from my Christmas list, and I wasn't even praying for it. I saw enjoyed to share my voice as part of a cappella. And yeah, but most of all, I got to know you, my Welton Church family. Today my heart is full of joy and love and happiness. I'm discovering talents I did not knew I had. Wonderful new doors are opening for me all the time, and I so enjoy being alive and this amazing walk with God by my side. I still do have lots of questions, but it feels so good to be here. And yeah, today I encourage you to be grateful for the journey that got you here, even for those little things and smallest steps, and to fasten your seatbelts for what's ahead. I pray for a wonderful year ahead for us all. May God bless. Sorry, it took a bit longer.
Okay, we're going to pray. There's lots we could have said. I thought it'd be good just to push on one of these areas. Wouldn't it be great if there was just that flow during this year of just hearing, seeing in each other's lives what God's doing? Would you join me in prayer? Lord, I guess some of us this morning are thinking, where do I fit? Disciple making, church planting, world reaching. Who am I? What can I bring? What are my gifts? Some of us will have some ideas. We'll be doing things already. And I guess that range from great all the way through to, oh my goodness, what? But you know us intimately, and you love each of us. Just going to encourage you just to take hold of that little jigsaw piece and just put it in your hand a second just as we pray. You can pull it off your page, lots of rustling. Lord Jesus, in the same way that these little bits of jigsaw, they kind of represent individual pieces, we thank you that you've not left us on our own, but you've put us in a church family that connects perfectly. All the pieces fit. And I pray for every person in this room, Lord, especially those that would say, I'm not sure I fit. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us that you do not make mistakes, and you love your creation, and you love who we are, and you love the gifts and the experience and the energy and the hopes that we bring. And so I ask you, Holy Spirit, would you even now, as we finish, as we take this moment just to pause and to look to you, Holy Spirit, would you come? And would you speak those words over us that we started with, that you are building us as living stones connected together to do something incredible in this world. Father, the best that we can do is to say we're ready. We're here. We trust you. We're available. We're ready. And we do that now. At the beginning of this year, we say, God, we're ready. Would you use us? In Jesus' name. Amen. I am really sorry that we've run over time. It's completely outrageous. I blame Matt Coombs for most things that go wrong, so I'll blame him for that as well. I'm going to ask the band to come back. We're going to stand and sing one more song of worship, and then we're going to have tea, coffee, biscuits. Don't forget to stick, if you've prayed something or an encouragement, stick it on the map as we go through. And again, just last thing, if you're a guest here this morning, please do come and chat afterwards. Matt and I would love to speak to you. Reminder tonight, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, down at the chapel. We'd love to see you.